It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, of course, powered by Overtime Media. I'm Jake Kokorowski, and obviously, senior writer at BadgerBlitz.com, your rivals.com destination for all things Wisconsin athletics on the recruiting trail inside Camp Randall Stadium, and of course, in the Kohl Center on the basketball court there. And, it's been busy. Don't mind me if I seem a little out of it. I know we have John McNamara, our editor, publisher, recruiting analyst extraordinaire, on here too. It's been a busy day. Busy week for BadgerBlitz.com, and even a couple weeks leading up to the early signing period that started on Wednesday and ends today. We're recording right at noon on a Friday. And John, man, we've got a lot of content up, and you know, Wisconsin had 14 signees, but we had so much going on with the site. And now maybe a little bit of a breather up until the February signing period.
Yeah, it felt more like one of the old February signing periods where, you know, Wisconsin had Paul Christ available and the assistant coaches available. So it kind of doubled the content we were able to put out there. So that was good. And I think that, there's a lot of good stuff said. And, the availability was great in terms of getting, a chance to talk to the assistant coaches who were out there recruiting these kids. And they have a very specific and unique take on the guys that Wisconsin was able to sign. So it was great to get a chance to talk to them and get their perspective. And it's been a busy stretch, a lot of content up at the site, and a great time to sign up for a subscription if you haven't yet, and, pour over the articles that we've put out over the last, two or three days.
Exactly. And, Wisconsin 14 signees. Let's kind of break down this class real quick. And, 14 signees, that includes Isaac Ham, the Sun Prairie product that announced on Wednesday evening. BadgerBlitz.com was there along with others, and go to our YouTube channel there. You'll see him pulling off that gray jacket, showing off the Wisconsin 608 shirt in Cardinal red. You also have, a huge interview with him talking about his decision to commit. And then, we have articles up about him. And so, just kind of looking at the current rankings for rivals right now, this class technically right now 46th, according to our service in the nation, 12th out of the 14 teams in the Big Ten. The one thing to kind of preface this, only 14 signees. I know Joe Brunner right now is the lone four-star candidate, the four-star product right now for Wisconsin. I guess, John, I know it comes off a huge, 2021 class where, a lot of four-star kids, 15th in the nation, and for that matter, they had 21 signees for that period too. But just, I guess, for fans that are listening, just what goes into the rankings, and is it deceiving for this class based on the size of the class?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was something that, we wrote about at the start. And like you talked about, Jake, Wisconsin's coming off their best. Their highest ranked recruiting class, during the rivals.com era, which took place, last year in the 2021 group, which finished inside the top 25, which has never happened for Wisconsin before. So, going into this year, this class was never going to get to that point simply because the numbers were limited. That played a big factor into where you see Wisconsin right now. They're at 14 right now in a more traditional class, or I guess, in years past, they averaged, in that 21 to 22 range in terms of scholarship guys they signed. So, when you're down six or seven from where you are and where most of the other teams in the country are, you're just not going to be there in terms of the rankings. And, you could argue that that's a big deal. You could argue that it's not a big deal. It is what it is in terms of how that's all factored in. So I think if you look a little bit deeper into it, though, per commit or per signee, I should say, Wisconsin actually grades out, slightly above the, you know, the middle of the pack in the Big Ten. And again, coming off a class like last year, that's not going to get Wisconsin fans fired up. But, you know, the ranking where they are right now in the 40s is probably not indicative of where they stand, you know, pound for pound in the country, just because, like you said, they're only at 14 right now. Maybe they get to 15 by the February period. But again, that's not going to jump them up so high. So, you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter. You know, they only have so many scholarships that are available, but, you know, this class really doesn't stack up to the previous three that Wisconsin was able to bring in.
Right. And, you know, I guess for that matter, you know, and, you know, this class too, you know, they missed out on Billy Shrouth, the St. Mary Springs product who signed with Notre Dame. And we talked about, and we'll probably talk about him a little later in some of the superlatives that we'll lay out here, or I don't know if you want to call them that. I talked to, you know, I know a bunch of us have done that. You know, we had a round table about it, but I have some different ones for this time around. But, you know, for that matter, you know, Carson Hinsman's still undecided between Ohio State and Wisconsin. And he even put out a tweet saying that he's not deciding today, Friday. So his recruiting journey, his process will go, you know, now into the winter, leading up to the February official national signing day. But yeah, you know, for that matter, you know, the class doesn't look star wise overly, you know, like as much, I guess you could say it's not huge in terms of like four-star, you know, talent by rivals.com, but there are a lot of talent I feel that will outplay their star rankings, you know, and from what they got, especially I think from the state of Michigan for that matter. But I guess overall, just how should Badgers fans feel about this class?
I think it's a solid group. You know, you talk about Joe Brunner. He's one of the top offensive linemen in the country. You know, he's as skilled and, you know, as good of an offensive lineman that I've seen come out of the state, you know, since I've been doing this. You know, you go to the other side of the ball. I really like, you know, guys like Austin Brown, the safety that they got from Illinois. You know, they beat up Brett Bielema for him, which really made him a top priority. Michigan and a handful of other schools. I like Avon Jones a lot, the defensive back from Texas. He could play corner. I think he could play nickel. He could potentially even play safety if you need him to. So that kind of position versatility. I really like Isaac Ham. You know, he's a kid I've been able to see, I think, three or four times just because his last two seasons are kind of packed together. He played in the spring and then he played again in the fall here. You know, he's a big, athletic, and violent prospect off the edge there. And Wisconsin sees him as a guy, you know, maybe plays with his hand in the ground, maybe plays standing up. So I think they hit on some bigger guys on the defensive side of the ball in comparison to the offense. So you know, I guess as a group, as a total here, as a whole, it's a pretty solid group. But again, I don't think they have that star power like they did in the previous recruiting cycles. You know, specifically last year when they signed a top 25 recruiting class.
Right. And, you know, and last year too, I was looking back, one five-star, and then I think it was eight other, if I'm not mistaken, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, other four-star candidates. So, you know, 9 out of the 21 were four-stars or higher back into the 2021 class. And we'll see just how they produce too. Obviously, once they get to the field, that's where star rankings don't matter. And I think fans should know that too. And but I guess too, with that question about how fans should feel about this class and, you know, and this, I think fans, you know, there's some generational aspects to this too, right, John, where you and I both remember the teams that were younger underneath, you know, a very young Barry Alvarez as a head coach where, you know, 1-10 in his first year, 5-6, the next two before the Rose Bowls and the winning ways really started to churn and, you know, become precedent now. And there's a younger fan base too, where, I mean, I'm turning 38 in 5 days. And so there are much younger fans that have just known about this success and want to take, you know, see this go to the next level and compete, not just for a Big Ten West title, or just compete for a Big Ten championship, but they want that college football championship talk yearly, you know, and we've seen Wisconsin kind of be on that precipice of, you know, in 2017, 2019 of taking out Ohio State to maybe claiming that to, you know, to punch their ticket or be close to that talk for the college football playoff. And I guess within that, and there's a lot of factors and a lot of times recruiting can play that role where fans, you know, they look at the recruiting rankings and then you see who's going to the playoffs. And, you know, obviously you recruit the best talent, you develop them, and they're playing, you know, for those conference championships and playing for the playoff now. But should, I guess my question to you, as I'm long winded in this, is should Wisconsin fans be worried about this class, about, you know, future trends within Wisconsin recruiting or this class, or do you feel this is just, you know, a year with just limited scholarships, the pandemic affecting not just, you know, out-of-state recruits coming in, but in-state recruits coming early to visit even last year? Just what is your take? Should fans be worried about the trends with the recruiting within Wisconsin right now?
I'm certainly not worried about this class that they signed. I think this is, you know, maybe where you'd expect to be. You know, if you look back a handful of months ago, this is probably what you envisioned signing day looking like if you followed it real closely. You know, my concern would lie in this 2023 class and beyond. And, you know, you could spend a lot of time on this topic where, you know, Wisconsin's recruiting department, you know, has operated for a long time with, you know, certainly not at full capacity. You had Eric Johnson doing the bulk of the work when Saeed Khalif left and Jensen Gebhardt left for Michigan State. So, you know, that's what concerns me the most if you're a Wisconsin fan, of, you know, the recruiting department operating for such a long period of time. And again, it didn't really affect this class. You know, a lot of those relationships were created prior to this. You know, right when Saeed left, they were starting official visits. So, you know, they had strong connections with those assistant coaches. My thoughts are more towards, you know, recruiting beyond this cycle and what Paul Chris is going to do to fill those spots in the recruiting department. I know that he talked about this week, you know, not just filling a spot just for the sake of filling a spot, but look, the big time schools out there are operating with huge recruiting departments because it is such a vital part of a football program. So, you know, I get his take on, you know, I'm not just going to put a guy there just to put a guy there, but look, I think they're operating with two people right now, and it has to be bigger than that. Like you have to put more resources into that. So I'm very curious to see how that plays out, you know, after the bowl game, you know, into January, you know, what additions they make, how big does that department grow, and what those specific roles are going to look like. And again, you know, 2023 is going to look very different in comparison to 2022, because right now there's not any in-state prospects from in that junior cycle who have an offer from Wisconsin. So they're not going to be able to turn to kids inside the state and necessarily get three or four or five or six kids from inside the state, at least from what it looks like right now. So, you know, there's a lot of very interesting storylines, I think, going into 2023, but, you know, I'm not concerned about what they did in 2022 per se.
Right. I think you were also referencing, talking about what Chris had said regarding, I think it was the article that was, you know, I think multiple ones, Athletic, Wisconsin State Journal, Milwaukee Journal said, no, they had a chance to talk with Paul before signing day. And that's where, you know, where Paul kind of talked, I think dove a little bit more in that.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I guess kind of looking at the superlatives then, John, in your eyes, you know, we'll go through this. And we did that for folks that don't know, go to badgerblitz.com. There's so much content on there, but just, you know, sign, you know, look and search for, you know, a look at the 2022 class. Benjamin Morgel, John, myself, all looked in. We broke down just a bunch of superlatives. Who could play early? The sleeper, the most underrated, you know, except top prospect. We kind of broke that down by our opinions, but I had a few other ones in terms of kind of breaking those down. You know, and we'll start off, you know, not to start off negatively, but because I know I think our last top, you know, this start maybe might have a negative tone, but let's just get it out of the way. You know, in your eyes, what's the biggest miss from this class so far in this early signing period?
You know, it's Billy Schroth. I don't know if it's all that close either. You know, you can make a case for potentially some of the, you know, defensive tackles that Wisconsin was after. Maybe Kenneth Grant, who wound up at Michigan. I mean, that was a pretty significant blow for Wisconsin. You know, pairing Kenneth Grant with Curtis Neal in this class of defensive tackle looked very good for the Badgers. But, you know, it's Schroth, largely because he's an in-state kid. So he signs with Notre Dame. You know, he was looking at Wisconsin and Notre Dame, you know, really through the bulk of his recruitment. It was a very interesting one to follow. You know, Notre Dame got off to a significant lead in his recruitment. Then Wisconsin got him on campus in the summer for his official visit. And it looked like at that time, Wisconsin gained the momentum and kind of nudged ahead of Notre Dame. I thought that he could commit early in the fall to Wisconsin. Then he takes a handful of visits to both schools in the fall, and you know, things go right up until the very end with him, and he signs with Notre Dame. So that, to me, is probably the biggest miss. But again, it's not at a position of huge need for the Badgers. So if there's one thing to take out of that, it's not as crippling to lose a guy like Schroth, because you know, you've addressed that position very well in the last handful of cycles. And it's this position that you anticipate that you'll be able to continue to recruit very well there as well. So if you want to do a glass half full there, which I don't think there is a glass half full scenario when you lose a kid from inside the state of Schroth's, you know, ability and caliber, it's at a position where you could probably shoulder that blow, you know, in comparison to if you lost a big time in-state receiver or big time in-state running back. So the biggest miss for me is Billy Schroth, and it's probably not that close.
Right. In my eyes, you know, I'm looking at, you know, since you took, you know, Billy there, I'm going to look at, you know, maybe the, as a position as a whole right now, where running back, where you don't have a, you know, they had Nicholas Singleton up on campus that first weekend back, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just make sure I got that right. Yep. The weekend of June 4th, along with a bunch of others, you know, in this class, you know, it was a big recruiting weekend then. He signed, you know, number 5 running back in the nation, number 110 player in the country overall for this 2022 class, according to Rivals. Eventually commits to Penn State, which, you know, obviously Wisconsin and Penn State have had their recruiting battles, and you know, there have been a lot of them going towards Happy Valley at times. But also even getting late into Jaden Ott, who, you know, committed to Cal again, if I'm not mistaken. I think he decommitted, right? And then he went back to Cal, but Wisconsin had him on an official visit this past, you know, it was a year in the Army game, and, you know, seemed to be a contender and whatnot, the number 14 running back in the nation, number 230 overall for this class. So you don't have that. I mean, you could have someone like Cade Iacomelli, who's an athlete, state champion, seems well-built. Wisconsin designates him at, you know, 6 foot, 185 pounds, and he could do it all, it seems like, for Penn Trafford in Pennsylvania, winning, you know, a state title, and also play, you know, running the ball, passing the ball, or receiving the ball, and then what he's doing on defense. And they don't even know where he'll wind up in terms of position group, but I think, you know, with Wisconsin and the running back tradition, you know, and especially with the numbers with attrition going on, that with this year with Jalen Berger and Loyal Crawford and, you know, Antoine Roberts all now out of the program. And then you had some season ending injuries to Isaac Garendo, to Ches Malusi. To me, that's, you know, that's rough right there. And, you know, it would have been interesting to see if they could have gotten Ott late and whatnot to see, but again, we'll see what happens down the road with obviously the rest of, the signing period leading up to February, or what they could possibly do, even the transfer portal. But
that might be, Jake, the biggest mistake in this class. And it's, you know, it's very easy to look in hindsight there, but you know, as you got going in this recruiting cycle, you say, hey, look, I just signed 3 or 4. I don't know when Braylon Allen at the time when their decision-making process is there, but hey, we just signed at least 3, likely 4 running backs in this 2021 class. You know, we maybe just are trying to get a home run or nothing in this class with Nick Singleton. I think it's just maybe a lesson that you learn here is that, you know, no matter what you have on paper, you have to get a scholarship quarterback in every class, and you have to get a scholarship running back in every class. And, you know, from the way it looks right now, Wisconsin's not going to get that scholarship running back And it may come back to bite them. You know, you have Braylon Allen there, and then a lot of question marks beyond him heading into this spring.
Right. And do you remember, too, like, I mean, it seemed like they stopped, like you said, you mentioned that. I think even you and I talking about it, where it seemed like they didn't really recruit the 2022 running backs. I mean, it seemed like they had offers, and then did it tail off? Do you remember that?
It did. Yeah. You know, it was – it's funny. You kind of go back, and they offered, I think, on a Friday – and this is back when Saeed was there, Jensen was there. They offered five tailbacks, I think, in the 2021 class, all on the same day. And, you know, they were guys from all across the country. So, you know, you going back to that, you're like, okay, they definitely want a running back in this class, obviously, the way they're going after. And then you talk to kids, specifically, you know, Michael Allen comes to mind. I think he ended up signing with NC State. And, you know, they offered him, and then a couple months later, it's like, hey, I just haven't had that communication. And that was even going back to when John Suttle was there. And it sounded like, hey, we're not recruiting a running back in this class, which seemed odd. And I think the focus then turned to kind of Nick Singleton or bust. We're saying, hey, we feel good about our running back room right now. Nick Singleton is someone we've invested a lot of time into. We'll continue to do that. And if we get him, great. If not, I think we feel good about what we have. And obviously, they don't have Singleton. They don't have Jade Knott, and they don't have a scholarship running back in this class. I think it'd be really disappointing, and this is not a knock on Cade Yakimali, you know, who's obviously went into Wisconsin's camp and earned his offer there. I think it'd be disappointing if you went and looked and said, hey, this is the running back that Wisconsin got in this group. I think he's better suited at either receiver or at safety, but it's in a position where Wisconsin feels like, hey, we can recruit with the best schools in the country. To not come away with one, it's disappointing. And you know, Gary Brown hasn't signed a running back yet, or hasn't got a commit from a running back yet. Obviously, just his first year on staff, but that's going to be an emphasis then going into this 2023 group of, you know, what can Gary Brown do on the recruiting front to help Wisconsin at that position.
Then looking at this class though, which player do you think will outplay their current ranking on Rivals.com?
For me, that's Tommy McIntosh, the receiver from Michigan, someone that, you know, I think was affected by, you know, obviously all these kids were affected in their own way by the COVID year and not being able to play in certain capacities, not being able to camp places. But, you know, he kind of blew up after his junior season in Wisconsin, and a number of other schools were on him in the spring and into the summer. So he was a very heavily recruited kid out of Michigan. Right now we have him as a low three star. I don't think that's, you know, an appropriate ranking for him and, you know, what he's done at the high school level, specifically as a senior. You know, you pop on the tape and you see a big time playmaker, with size and speed and the ability to catch the ball and kind of take the top off of defense. So, I think in the end, and what I've written about is Wisconsin doesn't have a player like him at the receiver position. Someone with legit size and legit speed like McIntosh has. So, you know, he's my player from this group that's going to outplay his current recruiting ranking during his time in Madison.
You know, it was interesting talking to the assistants too on Wednesday, just about these players. And obviously they're supposed to like their players. I was talking to this on with BJ DeGroot and Brian Butch, this morning, and I think probably other places too, but you know, the coaches are, obviously, they're going to be excited for the players that they sign and they recruit, or else they wouldn't recruit them. But, you know, you talk to some of the guys, the coaches more in depth. And to me, there are two that kind of stand out. One, I think, is Curtis Neal. I know I put him down for one of the superlatives that we had in our roundtable talk. But I think, you know, he was a four-star recruit for a bit, a high, you know, Rivals 250 prospect. Obviously, he has an ACL injury. He's a 5.7 rating right now, according to Rivals. But I really feel, you know, you talk to Ross Kalaji about him and just what he can bring. And that we had that up on BadgerBlitz.com too. But just to give a smidge of what he said about Neal and what he can bring, you know, it's explosive get off, violent at the point of attack. You know, Keanu Benton was talking about, you know, he's thinking about coming back. He told reporters that on Tuesday. You know, I know, I think Zach Halprin reported about Bryson Williams not coming back for you know, next season. So it, you know, I think Neil, I think, has a chance to, you know, with his 6'2" ish, you know, I think Wisconsin listed him as 6'2", 305 right now. You know, depending on what happens with Gio Paez, I think it's going to be a big spring for him. And I thought he looked really good there, but I think Curtis Neal has an opportunity in the next couple of years to really, you know, anchor himself on that line and make an impact too. I think another one is JT Seagreaves, just that, you know, Mickey Turner really gushed about him when it came to just what he could do. And just talked about having a 4.6 speed in the 40 yard dash, which you talked to Mickey about it. And he said, You know, it's something that those are kind of like NFL combine numbers. He's got the frame, height, weight, everything that carries well, and he's explosive. He referenced his basketball tape. So I think, you know, and he also referenced the intelligence of Seagreaves as well, where, you know, I think he mentioned Seagreaves had a 31 in the ACT. So one of those underrated recruits from in-state, I think he has a chance too, and we'll see just obviously how he develops over time. But that could be a player that really could, you know, continue Wisconsin's tight end legacy, but also maybe take it to the next level with some of the athleticism too. Most heralded, this is going to be a little bit different. Wisconsin, you know, they signed 14 players, John, but they also inked 7 walk-ons. And I know that there were more that I think declared in the past couple of weeks. I think Luna Larson's one of them, but he wasn't on the list. And then Devin Magley, hopefully that's pronouncing that name right, out of DeForest, but their names weren't on the signed list as of Wednesday or as of even now. But in your eyes, which walk on and it's hard, always hard, but you know, what's the most heralded signed walk on in this class out of the 7 so far?
Yeah, Luna Larson would have likely been my pick, but like you talked about, he was not announced on Wednesday. And you know, sometimes there are walk ons that, you know, are committed. They just don't get announced for whatever reason. So there's nothing there that would think that you know, there's a roadblock there. I think it's just kind of a matter of time. So he likely would have been my pick, like I said. But, you know, if we're going off of guys that did sign, probably Zach Glaudeman. Got a little Tim Riggins in him if you're a Friday Night Lights fan, if you get to see his picture and the colors from his high school. You know, he had a handful of offers from Division I schools, and you know, he wanted to walk on at Wisconsin, and you know, that's obviously a story that's been written on and talked about quite a bit. And you know, two-way player at the high school level. You know, he told me basically, hey, when I camped, I was at linebacker, and I also went over and worked with Gary Brown a little bit at fullback. The Badgers on Wednesday listed him at running back, which to me means that he'll likely start at fullback. So, you know, from that group that signed, Glaudeman would probably be my pick. But, you know, I don't want to steal any of your thunder here, Jake, if you want to talk about the other two. But Devin Magley, who decommitted from North Dakota on a full scholarship, I really like him. I think he's going to come in and be someone who, you know, in a couple of years maybe we're talking about is competing for time at safety, maybe in the same, you know, kind of path that someone like John Torchio followed, you know, walking on and now projected starter. Well, he's going to start in the bowl game for sure. And, you know, probably likely beyond that in that next season. And then Luna Larson, he is a guy who is kind of a fringe scholarship guy. You know, for a lot of this class, you thought that maybe he's a guy that could earn an offer at a full scholarship at linebacker. Wisconsin gets him as a walk-on, which I think is an absolute steal. So I really like those two guys. Wisconsin just hasn't announced their signings quite yet.
Right. And I think out of the announced signees, I think Jackson Trudgeon's interesting. He's listed as a safety. And as a preview, we're going to have an article up a little bit later today, folks. This may be even published before I get this up on the site for the podcast. But, you know, Jim Leonard talked about him, just saying that he was at camp and flashed, Leonard referenced Trudgeon making both sides, you know, making plays on both sides of the ball and having athletic size, good speed, you know, that type of stuff. And, you know, he said, you know, he fits the mold of some of the walk-ons who've come in here and had success. And for that matter, you know, Trudgeon, you know, his right now 6'1", 175 is what Wisconsin listed him as. But some of the accolades he's had too, AP first team All-State selection. He was a finalist for the Altoona Award, which is part of the WSN Senior Football Awards, which is given to the state's top senior wide receiver. He caught 50 passes for over 20 yards per catch, 1,060 in 15 touchdowns. He also ran for 377 yards and 6 touchdowns this past season for Edgewood, which was a very successful program. And, you know, he'll start off on the, you know, defensive side of the ball. And we've seen what Wisconsin can do with walk-on safeties. And, you know, we'll see that, especially coming up for the Las Vegas Bowl, where John Torchill, like, you know, could be in line to start with Colin Wilder not being available, obviously, because of his injury, the ligaments to his, you know, that are attached to his spine, obviously being, you know, having an injury there, and that'll cost him his last game as a Badger. So Torchill may have that opportunity there. But really, I think Wisconsin can develop those, you know, walk-ons in the defensive backfield pretty well. And we've seen that not just in those two examples, but obviously Jim Leonard himself, who, you know, obviously before the huddle era and whatnot, really made, you know, obviously he stood out there. Chris Maragos, a transfer in, you know, from Western Michigan too. So Joel Stellmacher for that matter. So I think, Trudgeon could be really intriguing in that defensive backfield too. Last question for you before we talk about who's to watch for in the February signing period. And there's obviously one big name there, but first, is it too early to ask John what the first 2023 commit is or who is?
Well, no, it's never too early. I mean, there's always stuff going on, and you know, a lot of schools around the country have a few kids committed in that 2023 class. So when you ask a question like that, you know, who's going to be first in the class, you always look inside the state. And like we talked about earlier, there is not a prospect right now who has an offer from Wisconsin. And I believe there's only two prospects right now who have a Division I scholarship offer from that 2023 in-state class. So, you know, there's really no one right now that I can point to and say, hey, I think this guy is going to end up at Wisconsin, which is going to make it more challenging for the Badgers to fill out this 2023 recruiting class. So, you know, just because I'm talking about it right now doesn't mean that, you know, kids aren't going to emerge later in the process. You know, we have a lot of time before summer camp, and then, you know, at summer camp, I think that's a great opportunity for guys to go in there and earn offers if they're going to do that. I guess if I had to pick a guy right now, it'd likely be Tyler Janzy. He's a linebacker from Illinois. Older brother plays at Northwestern. Wisconsin's been able to get him on campus a handful of times. I think once in the summer, twice in the fall. Right now, Wisconsin, I think, has a pretty significant lead in his recruitment. So, you know, if he's ready to kind of wrap things up in the winter, even the spring, I think that's where he winds up. So if I were to make a prediction right now, it'd be Tyler Janzy, the linebacker from Illinois.
Wrapping up this podcast, we're looking at, and I prefaced it earlier, who to watch for the February 2022 signing period, where, you know, it is the official, I would say, the official national signing day. The big name, obviously, Carson Hinsman. We talked to him last weekend, and when he talked to us, John did not have a timeline in terms of when he would decide. He announced even last night via Twitter that he was not going to sign today. Take it. He's the big name to watch, the number one center in the nation, obviously a top 100 recruit four-star prospect, according to rivals.com. And it looks like it's between, you know, Ohio State and Wisconsin right now.
Yeah. Wisconsin or Ohio State. And it's been that way for a while with him. A little surprised that he didn't get it done during the early period here, but then, you know, Jake, you had a chance to talk to him, and, you know, from my conversations with him and my conversations with other people who are close to his recruitment, you hear words like gut wrenching, and just he's completely torn between these two schools. And I could see why. And, you know, he elected not to sign now because he's still working on that decision. And, his next opportunity now is going to be in that February period, which, you know, just a handful of years ago, that was the more traditional period. So, now he's going to have another handful of weeks to kind of sort through things and try to make his decision. You know, I wrote on our message board, I think this is good for Wisconsin, because I thought that if he did sign during the early period, it would have been with Ohio State. So We shall see how this plays out. It's going to be interesting to follow. He'll be playing in the Big Ten. He just has to figure out what school it's going to be.
Yeah, you look at his tweet, John, and it, I mean, from last night, and it said, "Sorry for the confusion. I will not be signing tomorrow, as the schools I'm so fortunate to be signing from are so incredible that it's making my decision extremely tough. I'm going to need just a little bit more time. Thank you." Like, that's, you know, that's saying, you know, I mean, like I said, even I remember I was on the Red Zone podcast with Colton Bartholomew from the Wisconsin State Journal yesterday, and I read verbatim what he told us, where, you know, he didn't have a set timeline. He wasn't sure when he was going to decide to, one, commit, or two, just sign, you know, sign and do it all at once. So it will be interesting, you know, his recruitment journey, his recruiting process will be one to watch. Any others would you say right now besides Hinsman going into the February signing period and everything, all the, you know, what could be?
Yeah. You know, Wisconsin has scholarships to work with. I don't have it in front of me, but I thought they were at 79 or potentially 80 right after Isaac Ham signed. So obviously that number fluctuates constantly. There could be attrition on the current roster, but should they want to use some scholarships on, you know, the, I don't want to, leftovers is certainly not the right word, but I think they will reevaluate the recruiting board and say, okay, here are the group of players and that did not sign during the early period. Do are any of them fits for us? And, you know, that's not exclusive to Wisconsin. Every school in the country is going to be doing that. But, you know, if there's a running back that they feel like they could add that did not sign during the early period, will they evaluate, you know, that group of players? There's probably other positions too, you know, defensive tackle. You go back to what Saeed Khalif said, and obviously he's not on staff anymore, but, you know, anytime you can find a big body like that that can move, you're always interested, you know, no matter what your roster looks like. So I really do think the attention is obviously on Hinsman, but it would not surprise me if a name or two, you know, showed up on Wisconsin's radar, if it was the right fit at the right position and they made a, you know, a pitch towards that player or extended a scholarship to that guy in hopes that they could get him in February, because they do have the scholarships to work with. And then obviously the transfer portal. I think Wisconsin can and will be active there, as they should, because, you know, that's just the way college football is right now, where you have to be active in the transfer portal. It's the reality of the game today. And, you know, Wisconsin is adjusted to that. And I think, you know, you could see a transfer or two coming in, maybe a wide receiver, maybe a tight end, maybe somewhere on the defensive side of the ball. If Wisconsin loses both Sanborn, which they will, and Leo Chanel at middle linebacker, which I anticipate they will. So, they, like I said, they have scholarships to play with. They could take advantage of, you know, the pool of players available in the 2022 class that did not sign, and then potentially look at the transfer portal as well.
Yeah, the Chanel thing you mentioned, I know you're saying you're anticipating. I'm wondering about that, where, you know, in terms of his frame, I mean, that's going to be a really intriguing thing. I mean, he's the All-American nods there. He's the Big Ten's, you know, linebacker of the year. You know, I do wonder what, you know, and he said he told reporters this week that he was still undecided. You know, he's focused on the bowl game, wants to send the seniors out the right way and whatnot. But, you know, it will be interesting to see just how he fares. Obviously he stuffs the run and he can get after the quarterback, but, you know, his pass coverage, and he even admitted that, you know, a question was asked about his pass coverage and he admitted that, you know, it wasn't great this year, basically in his words. But I do wonder what, you know, like how much that fares at the linebacker position for the next level, where, you know, you've seen guys on the edge for Wisconsin, right, John, go, you know, Joe Schobert is now not playing on the edge in the NFL. He's playing at line, you know, a certain linebacker. I mean, TJ Watt's on the edge, you know, Vince Beagle is, but you've seen Zach Bond kind of, you know, for the Saints, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, going more towards like inside linebacker, but just like a 4-3 type linebacker like Schobert has. So it will be interesting to see just, you know, what information he gets back about his skill sets and what he needs to improve on and where he needs to go. And if that, you know, goes, like, you know, for me, I'm not sure, you know, where he'll go on that, but you know,
if this were like 1995, he might be a top 10 pick in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Draft. If it's in front of him, he's going to clean it up. but you know, the game is just different now. So I have those same question marks too. I get the feeling that he's gone, but that is certainly not set in stone. And you know, if you come back and you're like, hey, I got a grade of a fifth round or a sixth round, then yeah, you go back like Sanborn did and you say, I need to improve in this department and hopefully put it on tape and improve where my standing is. But I guess if I had to say today, based on no inside information, I'd say that he's gone.
That'll be one to watch. And, you know, John, what do we got coming up for the weeks ahead and whatnot? I know that I have a kind of behind the scenes coming up by the weekend on National Signing Day graphics going up about how Wisconsin created their EA Sports like graphics. And it's going to be a real fun talk about how just a bunch of people came together to make that happen. We'll have plenty more talk about bull prep standouts and et cetera, but what else we got going on?
Yeah. Starting probably Sunday, I think we're going to do our positional recruit snapshots of the 2023 class. I think we're, you know, wrapping things up in 2022 here and then, you know, turning our focus on to 2023. So those recruiting snapshots will run, you know, through the remainder of December. I'm going to plan on getting out to see some of our basketball targets here from inside the state. You know, kids from Pewaukee, kids from Wisconsin Lutheran, a couple other high schools I like to get out and see of guys that Greg Gardon has on his recruiting radar. And obviously the holiday break is a good time to do that. There's a lot of basketball being played. And obviously, you know, there's a bowl game too, somewhere buried in this month, later in the month against Arizona State. So, you know, obviously we'll have coverage from that with our Arizona State site and the Rivals Network. So it's obviously, you know, everyone gets a chance to kind of catch their breath here, but the rest of the month is going to be action-packed as well. We'll have plenty up on the site, you know, for the remainder of the month and obviously beyond that as we get to 2022.
Excellent. Folks, make sure you guys, of course, like this, follow, submit, or subscribe to this podcast. For us, make sure you follow John on Rivals, Twitter at McNamara Rivals, me at JCoco, K-O-C-O, and of course, Badger_Blitz for Facebook, Wisconsin Badgers on BadgerBlitz.com. Again, find this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, etc. A lot more coming up. We'll have another episode next week, you know, before the holiday, as y'all are traveling. So stay tuned for that coming up next week. Thanks again for listening. This is for John McNamara. This is Jake Kokorowski. Once again, on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.